The word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies, heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive your rain. Every seed buried in sorrow, you will call forth in its time.
Yes.
You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our hope now to arise.
We receive your rain. We receive your rain.
Thunder with a new future to tell.
Yes.
For the dry season is over.
Believe that.
There is a cloud beginning to swell.
Sing it again. Hear the sound.
Hear the word.
Roaring is thunder with a new future to tell.
Yes.
For the dry season is over.
Thank you, Lord.
There is a cloud beginning to swell.
To the skies.
To the skies, heavy with blessing. Lift your eyes, offer your heart. And Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God.
This morning, receive the rain.
We receive your rain.
Heavy words.
Every seed buried in sorrow,
you will call.
You will call forth in its time.
You are Lord.
You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our hope now to
sing that again. Every seed.
Every seed buried in sorrow,
you will call forth.
You will call
in due time.
More than it's time.
Yes, Lord.
You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our hope now to arise.
We receive your rain. We receive your. Like a flood, we receive your love when you come. Like a flood, we receive. receive your love when you come like a flood, like a flood.
Anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass.
Let it be done. We receive your reign. We receive your. Like a flood, like a flood. We receive your love when you come like a flood, like a flood. We receive your love when you come like a flood, like a flood. We receive your
standing with my hands open wide like this, and I looked around and a lot of you were. You know, that's like a funnel. When you want the rain of God to come down, we got to receive it, right? I mean, we can't receive it if we got full of other stuff. If we're full of all kinds of other stuff, there's no place for it to go. So sometimes we just have to empty out ourselves to God so that we can receive. Can we do that just one more time?
We receive.
Now stand on your feet. Now hold your hands up. Just receive it now. Ask him right now, just pour his spirit on you individually right now and on this church.
We receive your reign.
Just receive it right now. Whatever you need right now, just receive it.
We receive your reign. We receive your reign.
Sing it again.
Like a flood, we receive your love when you come like a flood, we receive your love when you come like a flood, we receive your love.
worship Him. Just worship Him with all that you have. We receive Your love.
We receive Your love, Lord.
We receive Your love.
Like
our hearts,
Lord. Like a flood, Lord. We receive Your rain.
Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a loving God we serve. Hallelujah, Lord. You're so good. You are so good. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, good morning again. And Pastor Dale is on vacation. He asked me to fill in for him, and before I get started, something I want you to do. Like I said earlier, you have to empty yourself before you can receive from God. So what I want to do is right now is just take 1 second for you to cleanse your mind. Forget about what this week's brought. Forget about all the things that are going that you're having problems with. Forget about all that. Let's just be open to what God says today. How many is ready to receive a word from God? Amen. If you're ready to receive a word from God, raise your hand, because I'm watching you. I'm watching you. All right, we're going to get into His word, okay? Hey, before I get into the word, I do have something, a story I want to tell you. You know, I've got to tell a story. It's a real short one. There's a young boy who was in Sunday school, and Sunday school was teaching about Adam and Eve. And went through the whole story, how Adam was created. Then he went into the story how Eve was created out of the rib. He went into the whole story about Adam and Eve. Well, one night during that time, the little boy woke up in the middle of the night screaming, "Mama, Mama, Mama, help me." She went running in there, and he had a hold of his side, and he said, "Mama, you got to help me. I think I'm having a wife." Y'all get that in a few minutes, I'm sure. Today, I have a message for you. I think it's for every church and every church person. The title is Christianity, Authentic or Artificial? How many of you know there's a lot of artificial Christians around right now? And what I want to do, take 1 second. What do you see right now? See a name tag. And on that name tag, it says Christian. Now, that makes me a Christian, doesn't it? What do you mean it don't? I've got the name tag. I call myself that. Is that not enough? I mean, I could put anything on that name tag, and that doesn't make it true, does it? What's true is who you are. What's true is how you act like Jesus Christ. Because what does Christian mean? Christ-like. How many knows we go through life, and there's a lot of times we don't act Christ-like, do we? Christianity, authentic or artificial? You know, if I asked every one of you, what is a Christian, I'd probably get every answer would be different. Because we all have different thoughts about it. The problem comes that too many people in churches wear this label as Christian. And they've got different viewpoints. And wow, there's some wild ones out there. Some take one scripture out of the Bible and make a whole denomination out of it. Some take one scripture of the Bible and twist it and turn it and shape it so it sounds totally different. How many knows the truth is the truth? Everybody say that. The truth is the truth. Okay, if you're here, raise your hand. Okay, you can't get out of it now because I know you're here. So you're here, so you're going to hear what I'm about to say. We have to make choices in order to decide who we are. We need to decide whether we're living out of authentic Christianity or artificial Christianity. We got to take a look on the inside. We got to take a look at ourselves. Self-examination. How many is willing to do that today? Are you willing to take a look and check and see who you really are? Well, we're going to get into about five different things that we have to choose. The first one is God's rule or self-rule. How many knows in our life we either have to rule ourselves or we let God rule us? You can't go both ways. See, our God is a jealous God. He wants 100% of us. So we can't self-rule when we want to and God rule when it's convenient. So a lot of people like to come to church on Sunday and, oh, God rules. Monday morning, I'm back in charge now. Right? You can say amen or oh me, one or the other. Joshua said in 29:15, whom shall you, what, choose this day? He said, for me and my house. Everybody say, for me and my house. We're going to serve. All right, you said it. Now we got to live it. We can't just say, it can't be lip service. It's got to be the truth. I'm going to step on a few toes and kick a few shins today. But I want you to know it's for a purpose. Self-rule or God rule? God gives us choices. He gives a choice either to accept Him or reject Him. Right? We've all in this room, I believe, most every one of us in this room have made Him our Savior. If He's your Savior, raise your hand. Amen? Wave it. You ought to say, you ought to be proud of that, right? Now, here's my other one. Have you made Him Lord? That's a whole different story. Make him your Savior is easy. You just ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, and it's done, right? Then the hard part comes, making Him Lord of all. Because if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. So, but we have to choose. We have to decide. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. All the instructions on how to do this are right here. You got one of these? This is it, right here. Raise it up if you got one. This is the original owner's maintenance manual. This is the original owner's maintenance manual. Have you ever had a car and you're trying to figure out how to fix it, you guys, and you had to go back and get a manual, find out exactly how to do it? Well, no, most of us don't do that. We just try to fix it anyhow, right? Then we look at the instructions. This is our instructions. This is where we need to go. We have to knowingly do the will of God. What does God want? Not what we want. How many know we have to get out of the way so God can? Well, that didn't go over real big. How many know that if we don't, then our will comes forth? If we don't submit our will and let God have His way, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get away from God serving to serving ourselves. So we have to be careful. And it's an everyday battle. Because I know the enemy's out there trying to get you away from God's will. God's will is for you to get to heaven with Him. The enemy's will is for you not to get there. It's a fight. It's a battle going on. We got to do the will of God or we're moving from... Because we all said He's our Savior, right? So that means we moved into the God's will, God's serving. But if we don't live it every day, we're going to get away from that and get back over to our self-serving. Look at this verse. If you have your Bibles, not, it's going to be up on the screen. Mark 8, 34 and 35. When He had called the people to Himself and His disciples also, He said unto them, whoever desires to come after Me, how many desires to go after Him? Do you really desire that? He said, but that's what He says. Anyone who desires to come after Me, let him deny himself. Everybody say, deny himself. And take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to serve his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? There's no cut around it. Either you're with him and for him, or you're against him. How many knows it says that you have to get out of the way. You have to submit so that his will comes forth. How many know there's a conflict at times in our life? When God's will and our will kind of clash a little bit, doesn't it? Of course, none of you ever had that happen. I've had it happen a lot. There's times in my life when I failed because I did that. Notice two things. The first one is, we can't be his followers if we're following our own self-ambitions. We can't do it. In fact, he says, if we don't shoulder the cross, what does that mean? Are you willing to die for him? Are you willing to forget everything that you want and make his will number one? Bible says, seek you, what? First, the kingdom of God. You can't put anything ahead of him. We have a tendency to do that, don't we? We put other priorities in our life. You can't just come to church on Sunday and say, well, I'm taking care of everything now. We can't, and then Monday morning, you're right back to doing the same old things you was doing before. You can't do it that way. You can't even do it one day. If you get off track one day, how many knows when you get off track, it's hard to get back on track? When you get down that rabbit hole going the wrong way, it's hard to get out of that rabbit hole, isn't it? The Bible says the road is fast and narrow to demise. It's like this. If you get on the road, it's down to hell. It's downhill. It's 4 lanes or 20 lanes, and it's no brakes, and you just start moving. Now, if you're on that road, and you're going down there, now you're going about 100 miles an hour on this road heading in the wrong direction, how hard is it to stop? Much less turn around and go back up the hill. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose any ground. I don't want to have to go back up again. So how many knows the road is tough, and it's slow, and it's progression, and it's step after step. But how many knows the reward is well worth it? What is it to gain the world and lose your soul? Wow. How many knows a lot of times we want to gain things in this world? How many knows it's easy to do that? In the business life, I've had many opportunities to do the wrong thing and make a lot of money. And I have been tested a lot. But you know what? I've really tried to stand my ground. And how many know God always comes through and rewards me anyhow? People think, you know, if I just do it my way for a while, I'm gonna be satisfied. It's going to be good. I'm going to be fulfilled. But how many knows we got it backwards? Real fulfillment comes when we do it God's way. We get in His will. We get close to Him. Then we have all the satisfaction in the world. I don't understand why sometimes people go, well, it's just too hard. How many knows He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'll be with you every step of the way. I'll pick you up when you can't walk. I'll carry you when you can't move. All we got to do is keep moving, keep trying, day in and day out. All right. True satisfaction comes when you get in God's will and get in His way. Number two, this is something that we have lost. It's called repentance or retreat. Repentance, we get to choose. Repentance or retreat. How many knows the church and us today have gotten away from true repentance? We have to be a repenting church. How many days every day I've got to repent for something? There's something I probably haven't done that I don't even know about. And sometimes there's stuff. How many knows when you're following Christ and you do something you know is not right, you know it. You know it. There's something in you goes, what are you doing? And then you get into this, well, but if I do it this way, it's going to be very profitable. It's going to do me good. I'm going to have a lot of good things happen. If I do it that way, I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what we have a tendency to do? Let it slide. Well, this one time ain't going to hurt. When God reveals to you there's something wrong, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe you've treated somebody wrong, maybe something's happened in your life and you got really mad when you shouldn't have got mad. We can go on and on and on and on. But there's always things in our life we need to get right with God. I don't want to stand before Him one day and let something that I think is so small be so big and stop me from getting to heaven. I don't want anything in my way. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is say, oh, Lord, if there's anything I did yesterday that I don't know, please forgive me. Please let me help me. Get me on the right track. We have to be a repenting church. We have to know it. And, the problem we have with repentance, especially in a body of Christ, you don't want to come forward and repent to God and lay your heart out to Him. Well, somebody might see me. They think I'm perfect. And they might know I'm not. Let me go ahead and tell you something. We know you're not, so it's okay. It's okay. Everybody knows you're not perfect. Listen, if you're looking for a perfect church, as soon as you find it, it won't be perfect anymore. So we got to have a heart of repentance, because we're not repenting, we're going backwards. How many knows you can't either going forward in Christ or you're going backwards in Christ? You can't do it in the middle. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to hold my ground. I'm going to stay right here. How many knows it's like a long rope? We had a long rope tied up there, and you're climbing that rope. No, I ain't climbing that rope. But you get up part of the way, and you're just all of a sudden you're tired. You're just trying to hang on, aren't you? Well, I got news for you. That may be true, but the devil's greased the rope. So you're climbing as fast as you can just to stay level. So what happens if you just stop the rest? You stop sliding. So you got to keep moving forward. How many knows we got to keep moving forward in God? Keep Christ first among everything else. Every decision you make, everywhere you go, whatever you do, let God lead you. Not you try to lead God. God, come with me. Come on. I want Him out front. A lot of churches have forgotten how to repent. Most churches right now, a lot of big churches right now, don't even teach it. They don't even teach there's anything wrong. As long as you're coming in their church and paying the tithes, that's all they care. I'll be honest right now. I'm trying to be honest with you. A lot of times people are drawn to that because they're not under conviction. I want to be under conviction. God, convict me if I'm in the wrong way. So what does me to gain all that other stuff if I'm not going to make it to heaven with you? I want to be under conviction. I want God to come on me hard. As we see today, among Christians today, divorce is about the same rate. People with abuse, people who hurt people who do it, it's all about the same. What does that mean? This is what it means. A lot of people are just wearing that. They're just calling themselves a Christian, but they don't live the life. It's kind of like fruit from a tree. If you got an apple tree, how many oranges are you going to get out from under it? You don't get any, are you? So if you want the fruit of the Spirit, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, all those things should be coming off of your life. If it's not, look at what the other side is. Check your fruit every now and then. Check what's around you. Check what's coming through. Jesus went into Galilee. This is Mark 1, 14 and 15. I think I may have given you the wrong one. Okay. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What? That's the first word. Repent. We got to get right. We got to get right with God. How many knows He's coming soon? How many knows He's coming real soon? Are you ready? Big question, isn't it? If He came right now, how many would go? And how many would stay? That's something we have to look at. Here's the thing. If you're truly an authentic Christian, when you do something wrong, you start feeling guilty. You feel guilty. Respond to that and get back right with God. As little as it may be, there's a little voice inside of you that says, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. I know we teach grace, but we got to teach our lives being committed to seeking the face of the Lord. The next one. Genuine faith or fake faith? How many knows we can say we're faithful? Or we can say we're faithful and we're not faithful at all. Sometimes we don't understand what that means. What does it mean to be faithful? I'm going to follow Christ and what His will is. I'm going to be a doer and not just a talker. How many of you have been a talker at one time and not a doer? You better raise your hand because we're all that way at one time, right? We've all been there. Mark 10, 14 and 15 says, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have the kind of faith, that kind of faith, will never enter the kingdom of God." Childlike faith. I remember when my son was about, he was just walking good. And my brother had a pool. Some of you remember my brother used to go here. Passed away a few years ago. He had a pool, and we'd be in the pool. And my wife would let my son down, and he'd run across the pool, and I'd just raise my hands, and here he comes. Pew! Childlike faith. Just come right in my arms. How many knows that's the way we need to be? We need to leap into His arms. Not just kind of look around and go, well, I'm going to kind of get a little closer. No, we need to leap into His arms. Full throttle. All the way. How many knows we got to go all the way or we're not going anywhere? Anybody's shins hurting yet? Toes? Mine are starting to hurt a little bit. I think I'm stepping on my own. What kind of faith is he talking about? Is that about somebody that's never had any doubt? Anybody had doubt before? I've had plenty of doubt in my time. Why, Lord? Why does that happen? Why does this happen? Lord, I don't understand that. Why is this happening? Why is this going this way? Why is everything going perfect in my life? How many know the Bible says we'll have tests and we'll have trials? But they're to strengthen us. How many knows when you hold on to God, those things don't seem so bad? But when you're trying to deal it with it on your own, they can destroy you. Authentic or artificial? We don't go to God with just complaints. excuse me a second. I have a bad habit of just trying to go to the Lord sometimes just complaining about something. I know y'all never do that. We have to go to the Lord with thanksgiving, with joy. Now, that doesn't mean we can't talk to Him about anything, because we can. But here's the way we need to think sometimes. Lord, here's what I need. I need this and I need that. And He said, I'll give you everything that you need. But we get confused. Sometimes our wants and our needs get a little confused, don't they? We should say, Lord, I want this. I want that. And God says, well, if I give you that, there's going to be a real problem. What is it to gain the world and lose your soul? What if today, I guarantee you today, if somebody in this room or several people in this room received $1 million in the mail, some of you would fall away from Christ because you couldn't handle it. Your faith couldn't handle it. You would move in the wrong direction. I wouldn't mind trying. Lord, you can test me for that one if you want to. But how many knows it's better that I don't ask for those things and let God just give them to me if He wants to, if it's His will. It's amazing how I read a statistics the other day that probably 85% or maybe 90% of all the people who win big in the lottery end up bankrupt. They lose it all. All right, here we go. Next one. Discipleship or desertion? Are you a follower? How many knows we're all followers? You know that? We're all followers of something. We're either following ourselves, or we're following Christ, or we're following the devil. We can do any of those things, right? It depends. You're not a disciple. Doesn't mean anything. The word disciple doesn't mean anything. Disciple means you're following someone. What really means is, what's your disciple of? Are you Jesus Christ's disciple? That means you follow him. He becomes your, there's that word again, Lord. Do you want him to be your Lord? Then you have to follow him. Many times he'd walk around, he was talking to the tax collector, and he sit down, he looked at him and says, drop everything you got and follow me and be my disciple. And they would get up and just follow him. He has asked each and every one of us to follow him. We ask Christ in our heart. We tell him, I'll follow you anywhere, Lord. And then down the road we go, well, except there. I'm not going there. I don't want to do that. Well, I need you to help do something in the church. And you feel that God's really telling you to. And you're going, nah, I don't believe I want to do that. We got to be careful. Seek God's will. Seek God's face. Seek what he wants. Our prayer should be, God, not what I want. I've heard this somewhere before, but what you want. Where have I heard that? I believe I heard Jesus say that when he was about to die. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go through all that. But what did he say? Lord, not my will, but your will. Everybody say that with me. Lord, not my will, but your will. It's easy to say, hard to do. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up your will and follow him? Disciples. He is a jealous God. He wants to be Lord of all. He demands all of you, heart, body, and soul. Heart, body, and soul. He wants all of you. You say, but I'm this age, but I'm just this age, or I'm this and I'm that. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how tall you are, or anything else. Give him your heart, soul, and mind. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. I want all of you, Lord. Here's the next one. Evangelism or evacuation. How many knows that we need to be an evangelistic church? Everybody say, oh me, or oh my, or amen. Okay, I got a little more amens. That's good. But every one of you sitting in the pews, including myself, have to be an evangelist. You are an evangelist. Here's a survey that was done by the American Church Growth. 10,000 people randomly who go to church on a regular basis were asked, how did you get there? How did you get to be in a church? The first one said, special need. I had a special need, 2%. People who just walked in, 3%. Pastor, 6%. Visitation, 1%. Sunday school, 5%. Evangelistic crusades, you think that would be high, wouldn't you? 5%. Different programs, 3%. Friends and relatives, 79%. So who brings them to church? Who gets them there? Raise your hand. Everybody, raise your hand. Everybody in place, raise your hand. Come on, I want to see every hand up. Guess what? It's you. You're the outreach. You talk to somebody. You share with somebody. You reach out to somebody. You invite them to church. How many knows they say no? Did that hurt anything when they said no? So do you invite them again? Uh-huh. How many times do you invite them? Until they finally say yes. Right? It's because if they keep seeing you as the light of Christ, you are the Christ that they see. And if they keep seeing good things in you and good things happening to you, guess what they're going to want eventually? I want what you got. How many of you got the joy of the Lord? Do you show it all the time? Oh. If we've got the joy of the Lord, that's what people see. That's what people want. That's why we evangelize. You say, I don't know what to say. How many of you got a testimony? God do something to you? If he didn't, we need to talk after service. Because he did to every one of us. If we have a testimony, we know what happened to us. Share it with somebody. Because if God did it for you, He can do it for somebody else. And some of you, it was not easy. It was hard. But He got you there. And that was me. I can confess to that. I resisted for a long time. Personal evangelism, that's what it's all about. Mark 1, 17 and 18. Got one more after this one. Then Jesus said unto them, follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Wow. Follow me. I'm not trying to be negative here, but it's obvious that we aren't doing a lot of fishing. You know why? Because if we were, the nets would be a lot full. This place would be running over. Churches would be just overrunning themselves today if we did a lot of it. Do we need to step it up? Absolutely. Those of you who are not, need to start. Those of you who are, need to do more. How many is willing to do that? Are you willing to reach out to somebody else? Raise your hand if you say, I am willing to reach out to somebody else. I'm willing. If all I got to do is say, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. That's enough. Just reach out. Because if you reach out, guess what? If everybody in this church reaches out and 10% of the people who reach out reach someone who comes, guess what's going to happen? The church is going to be full. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you has not reached out to somebody in the last year? 2 years. You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. How many can't remember the last time you reached out to somebody? Well, that's where we're at. We're not in a church body. That's where we have to be. Because if we do that, this is the last one I'm doing. It's about the church itself. We're either a dynamic church or we're a dying church. Ouch. We're either a dynamic church or we're a dying church. You can't just be in the middle. How many wants to be a dynamic church? Do you know what brings a dynamic church? The Holy Spirit. Allowing and letting the Holy Spirit use you. That's how you become a dynamic church. I think we're moving somewhat in the right direction. We're trying to get to that place, but we're not there yet. If you really want to have a dynamic church, it's going to take you. The pastor can't do it by himself. Music person can't do it by themselves. It's got to be individual people talking to each other. And it's true, because what's happening in churches today, it's dying, isn't it? True Spirit-filled churches are dying today. Why? Because they're getting drawn into other things. The devil is out doing his thing. You know what? If you're under that, like we talked about before, if you're under that conviction, you either run to God or you run away from Him. A lot of people run away. But that's not what we have to do, one or the other. We have to choose. Either God convicts me and I run to Him, or I run away and I go somewhere else. In other words, does it say being a Christian is an easy thing? If somebody tells you, just come to Christ and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be a piece of cake. Well, they didn't understand that piece of cake's tough. Hard to swallow sometimes. We're the dynamic church or a dying church. It doesn't matter what denomination, Bible verses you use, and women in the ministry. All that stuff's not having anything to do with it. It's us being in the Spirit of God. Letting God use us. Letting God be in us. Being what God wants us to be. Taking that step of faith. How many knows you got to trust Him? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own dumbness. We can't just do it ourselves. We got to trust Him, right? Walking with Him, talking with Him, being with Him. If you want to hear the shepherd's voice, you got to continually talk to Him and let Him talk to you so you can recognize it. The last thing I have on here is, how is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? And I saw heads go. Now, you can start in prayer now if you want to. That's okay. But how many knows our prayer life's got to be active? We have to have a church active prayer life. Well, I hate it when I go to somebody and I go, will you pray for me? And I've got this going on. And They go, yeah, I'll do that. Ain't thought about it yet. Right? Ain't even thought about it. Somebody asks you to pray for them, do you actually pray for them? Some of you got your heads going up and down, going. Some are going. I know it's important. If you can't speak to God, how is God going to hear what you want? What's going on? How can God speak to you unless you're in church listening to the Word of God or praying with Him so He can speak into your spirit? It's communication with Him. That's, again, that's selling out to Jesus. That's what we have to do. Mark 7, 6, and 8. I want you to look at this, the last scripture. He answered and said unto them, well, did Isaiah's prophecy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, the laying aside the commandments of God. Wow. You hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other things that you do. What he's saying there is that we just like to give him lip service sometimes. We'll tell him anything. How many of God knows your heart? God knows all about you. There's no secrets. There's no hiding place. There's nothing God doesn't know about you, so why do you try to hide something? I'm better off just to go right to him and say, well, you already know this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. We've got to be honest with God. We've got to be honest with him every day. Either our faith and our Christianity is authentic or it's artificial. Now, we may have part artificial and part authentic. Is that going to work? Nope. We've got to be completely authentic in being a Christian. And that's where we get back to this repentance. God, I'm sorry. I used to tell my church this all the time. When you mess up, you fess up. How many know sometimes it comes a time just to fess up? Say, God, I've come short. I'm not quite where I need to be. I'm not strong in places I need to be strong. I'm not telling people like I need to be telling people. I'm not living the life like I really should live. I got some things I've done I probably shouldn't have done. I need to get it out to you. There's some people I've hurt. I need to get rid of that and forgive them and turn it over to you and let you take care of it. So this morning, we have a chance to get it right. Are you willing? Are you willing to get it right? Are you willing to step up to the plate and do what God wants to do in your life? Or are you just going to stand back and go, well, I'll just let somebody else do it? So I'm going to ask you right now, I think I'm going to try something. Bow your heads. Everybody bow your heads. I usually don't do this. Anybody in this place this morning got something they'd like for God to forgive them for, like we've talked about? Just raise your hand real quick. Anybody, you got them all over the place. They're everywhere. Good. Because if you hear a message like this and there ain't something in your heart, then you didn't have the valve open. It didn't go in. How many of you feel like you're not doing all that you can do for him? Anybody here? If it's one of those two things this morning, I want you to come on up here. We're going to pray together. Because I'm in those categories with you. Step up and just come on up here. And let's let God do his thing this morning. Be honest with yourself. If you raised your hand, God saw you raise your hand. So he knows. Just stand right here for just a second. If you feel like you can do a little more, maybe you haven't reached out. Maybe you see, did God give you the courage? Maybe you don't know Jesus at all this morning. Maybe he's not Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all this morning, let's make him Lord of all this morning. Come on down here and let's talk to him. Just begin to raise your hands right now and begin to speak to him. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. I'm not going to beg you, but I want you to be set free this morning. If you need to repent for anything this morning, come up here. I'm not going to ask you what it is. That's between you and God. I'm just going to agree with you. Hallelujah. 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 God's tugging at a heart. I can't stop for a second. God's tugging at a couple of hearts this morning. Your heart's beating real fast. God's trying to get you to get up out of your